Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
.5 on the show on KMOX. Chris Ronji, Amy Marks, of course, back from the marathon. Kevin Wheeler, in his normal spot, did not run a marathon. Neither did Ron. Neither of us did anything like that. So,
no.
Nor would we ever.
No. We're not crazy.
If you'd like to stay in touch, we will have some reaction from listeners coming up at 12:30 today. So if you want to jump in and toss a voicemail into the mix, 314-944-1120. We're getting a lot of reaction on the Greitens ad and then a response to it. If you want to go that route, that's great. If you catch something else we're talking about, you're welcome to do that as well. So again, the voicemails are 314-944-1120. Text line 314-436-7900. Those will be getting into the mix coming up at 11:30. Obviously, if you go to at the show KMOX on Twitter, everything you need to know about reaching us, watching us. Yes, watching us. Facebook.com/KMOX1120. YouTube.com/KMOX1120. Listening now, listening later on the Odyssey app. The podcasts are all up on the third party podcast hosting services now, Spotify, iTunes, the whole deal. So you can find them there too. If God forbid you can't listen to the entire 4 hours live, I mean, first of all, shame on you. But second of all, you can listen later. We'll forgive you.
Hey, Wheels. Can I
Amy.
Tell you something that I think is super impressive?
If it's about me, yes.
It's unfortunately not about you.
Dang
but
it.
We were talking about running marathons, right?
Yeah.
So a friend, I had several friends up there running grandmas. One of my friends.
That sounds like Amy, a running grandma.
Running grandma's marathon.
Grandma's marathon.
Running grandma's has a totally different sound to it.
Grandma's is a store or something, right?
It's a saloon.
It's a saloon. And they sponsor the marathon.
They do.
Right?
And we ate at the saloon afterwards, and it was very fun. It's actually a really cool saloon right on Lake Superior. But my friend Autumn, who was running the grandma's marathon with us, we were all running different paces, but she, a half mile into a 26-mile race, caught her toe on, I don't know what, like a crack in the pavement, and fell so hard. She split her knee open to the point that what they found out later was like it needed stitches. She hurt her other knee. She jammed all three fingers. She doesn't think they're broken. One of the friends on the trip was a doctor, and he's like, they're not broken, but they're jammed. And then bruised and cut her shoulder. So she goes down a half mile into the race so hard that people around her are like, oh my gosh, are you okay? She said the adrenaline, right, coursed through her body. She jumped up and ran the remaining 26 miles and set a personal best. It was a personal best time for her. She crosses the finish line, and her leg is just, like, caked in blood. And she goes to the medic tent, and the medic tent sends her to where the EMTs are. And they said, without getting too graphic, basically the blood had coagulated. She goes, I can't even tell how deep this is. And they had to clean it out.
Yeah,
and then
fun.
Said, we think she needs stitches. And she ran that race.
Yeah.
That injured.
That's pretty awesome. It's also going to suck for the next few days.
I know.
That's going to hurt so much.
Can you
much.
Imagine? Oh. She's like, yeah, and it was hard getting my gels, like the energy gels that you have to take during the race. She said, because I couldn't use my hand. Because my three of my fingers were so jammed, she wasn't sure if they were broken.
Oh, man.
I know.
That I would be finished.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah, they really are.
She's crazy. She goes, well, what was I supposed to do?
No, like all of you. I mean, first, it's crazy to just do that. But then on top of that, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You said her name's Autumn?
Autumn.
That's badass, Autumn.
You drove 700 miles to run 26 miles.
Well,
that's kind of crazy.
We drove 700 miles
to
get to the bus that bussed us out another 26 miles to run back. Yeah, but anyway, I just thought even like no matter what sport you play, you could appreciate the toughness of Autumn.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I have nothing to add other than that's awesome.
Yeah.
That kind of thing is impressive.
Good for her. Amy, I'm very, very glad that nothing seriously bad happened to you.
Thank you.
Because Kevin and I were talking about it. I was rooting for some kind of chaos.
Well, of course.
I wanted a story. Chaos here, yeah.
I wanted a story. Yeah. And you have a story.
And what did I say I wanted?
You wanted her to finish first.
I wanted Amy to have her best race ever. That's what I wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, I just want a story.
I want a story.
Yeah.
And that's a great story. You got a good one.
That's a great
one. I do feel bad that you're feeling the effects of the COVID thing. I wish you were. But by November, think about this. You're going to be several months removed from having that. You should be good to go.
Honest to goodness, I feel like I'm tougher for having survived this race because I really think no matter how poorly November goes, I will not feel as bad as I felt in this race. Like, I don't think it's possible to feel that bad.
Oh, at first I thought you were talking about the election in November.
Oh.
Which is pretty tiring, too.
Oh, yeah.
There should be a marathon during the election so you can not pay attention to any of it.
At the end of November, we're all going to be like,
okay, friendships are forged in the trenches, and I truly believe that if you had members of Congress train for a marathon together, well, it would really thin the herd, that's for sure. But then
we should send them to boot camp.
They would bond.
We should send them to boot camp. Remember, like, so they did that for Saving Private Ryan. All of the actors had to train and work and live together in these crappy conditions, except for Matt Damon, because they wanted to create the animosity towards his character that you would see in the movie.
Oh.
So all of them had to do all of that except him. And then he gets brought in right in the middle, and they're all like, man, we hate that guy. And because they wanted that kind of emotional resentment to be a part of the movie.
That's incredible. That's called method acting. Did you know this?
But the point method is, acting. You're right. No, that kind of thing does build camaraderie. They should have to go to camps. Like, they should have to go to boot camps and have drill sergeants put them through whatever paces they can go through. And then when they come out, maybe you'll like each other a little bit more. Or maybe you can work again, forget like each other. You don't have to like anybody, but be able to work together.
Yeah, you know, you think a lot of things of Congress. Bastion of Fitness hasn't ever come
again,
to mind
doesn't
when
have
I think
to be
of Congress.
Even,
but maybe there are some fit people in Congress.
We can just tailor it to the individual needs. The point is that you're pushing people.
Yeah.
And you're making them work together, and you're showing them that they have to be a part of a
this
team.
This would be a reality show.
Yes!
And then you vote.
No. Who's the survivor guy?
Well,
Mark Burnett. Oh. Mark Burnett. Call Mark Burnett. Let's go.
The problem with it, and maybe you won't see it as a problem, is I'm not sure how many people will literally survive it.
No, again, we tailor it to people's levels. So it's like grading on a curve. So if you're in terrible shape, okay, you're going to be challenged, but not the same way that, say, like Amy would be who can run a marathon. Maybe for some people it's run across the room.
You know, we were talking about this yesterday. Of our last five presidents, four of them have been in pretty good shape. Like, really, you know, they could do things for their age.
For their age, sure, yeah. Sure. And, you know, although Clinton didn't need to wear the short shorts.
Well, but
that was a thing at the time.
That was a lot of thigh.
Yeah,
it was a lot of thigh. Time, well, yeah, it was a thing at the time. But Clinton.
Until the Bulls.
Until the Chicago Bulls with the big baggy shorts.
Michael Jordan was the first person to wear the long baggy shorts. Before that,
and then Allen Iverson, he really took it to another level.
Yeah. How did I not know this?
Oh, yeah, it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Clinton had a ticker problem, but he jogged, right?
Jogged to McDonald's.
W.
And then Bush was a big jogger.
Mm-hmm. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Obama, he played basketball.
He did play basketball. He didn't jog. Biden rides his bike.
He rides his bike.
Stop.
Sometimes
using,
he falls.
Hey, listen. Stop using the straps on the bike. If you're not don't do the straps on your feet.
I told Kevin this yesterday. I reached out to a mutual friend of all of ours, somebody that we all know. I don't think I want to name his name because I'm not sure he wants that out there.
What
but
does
he is
it start
an,
with?
He's an avid cycler.
It's not Mark Reardon.
It's not Mark Reardon.
He is an avid cyclist, but
it's not nobody
Mark
in this
Reardon.
Building.
Right.
He is an avid cyclist. And I said, do you have problems with those toe straps? And so there are toe straps, but then there are also clips.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, clips, just forget about it. Like, never do clips.
Yeah.
But he said, I've fallen on those a lot and the straps too, because if you don't get your foot out of it and you've stopped. You know, your momentum stops. Like, you're not going to be upright if your foot doesn't come out in time, which is what happened to Biden.
What's the point of any of those unless you're racing?
I don't get it.
Like if you're
why?
In a race and you're competing, I get it. You don't want a little bit of separation. But if you're just biking.
If you're going longer distance, and I'm guessing the president is not. But if you are going longer distance, you can, like, hit your shin or, you know, your foot slips off the pedal. Like, I can see how any type of clip or strap would be more comfortable.
That literally never happened to me in my entire life. And I've ridden bikes since I was a little kid.
And you'd have to be really going fast.
This is my point. If you're racing,
I've been riding my bike for years.
Like if you're racing, of course it makes sense. Yeah, every kid rides a bike.
Well,
you know, I never got smoked in the shin by my pedal.
But you should also never, if you have these stupid toe straps or clips or whatever, don't ever stop your bike before you get your foot out. Because you're
That's pretty good advice.
Get your foot out first, and then you can slow your momentum. Don't.
And I will say,
put them on.
Biden's not at the top of his game, and he comes across as not inspiring. But the bike thing, I would fall off the bike.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh, this one?
I fell.
She's the clumsiest. Yes, yeah. She's the clumsiest person I've ever met.
It's so bad.
All right, it's Tuesday on the show. Amy Marks, of course, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler with you here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
So I saw this story the other day, guys, and I wanted to wait until Amy got back because all of us here have a sports background of some kind. I mean, Amy's been doing more current events, political discussions over the last couple of years, but also was Blues pre and post.
Intermissions.
You did that for a long time. Kevin, obviously sports host. I have done the same for most of my career until we started this show a few weeks ago. Hello.
Oh, hey.
To everybody. The Athletic is a very important part now of anybody who covers sports or consumes sports. If you like to consume sports writing, The Athletic over the last several years has become a really big outlet. It's a pay service. So, you know, you don't get the articles for free, but there's a lot of in-depth stuff.
Well, there's no ads on the stories.
No
ads.
You
don't have any, like, autoplay videos.
Right.
And they hired a lot of the best writers in the business.
They did. Ken Rosenthal. Jeremy Rutherford is there. Mark Saxon for a while is there. Katie Wu, yeah. So a lot of really good writers work for The Athletic. There was an edict, a memo sent out to them recently that they are not, anybody who works for The Athletic is to leave politics out of it. And it's not just in their writing. And The Athletic, when it was founded, and I know one of the two founding members of it, the idea behind The Athletic was they had writers, all had autonomy, that they could have done whatever they wanted, write however they want. There really is no editing process.
Long form pieces.
They're not told what to say or what not to say. But now people at The Athletic, and this is according to a story in Defector, and Defector is a lot of the people who were on Deadspin before, they are now writing for this site, that people at The Athletic, if you are a writer, you are not allowed to get into politics, not just in your writing, but also on your own personal social media. This is striking to me because, you know, Kevin has heard this, I'm sure, but you don't really get much into politics on your social media.
No.
I have been for a while, even though I've been a sports guy.
I do not.
Yeah. And you... Well,
at all.
Yeah. yes, you do.
Politics?
You don't?
No.
Really? But
really?
You work in politics.
I know, and I wouldn't tweet. So even though
that's
I was
interesting
doing all
to
politics,
me.
It's my position too.
I would tweet about running because social media, there is nothing good that happens from saying anything political on social media. It's just a cesspool of trolls and tryhards and keyboard warriors, and I want no part of it.
No, the problem there is most things political require nuanced conversation, and
you can't do it
on Twitter.
Right.
Because the person that's tweeting at you is only seeing that tweet. They don't remember the ones that were 2 days ago or
right.
2 weeks ago or whatever. It's always going to be about that one. We get this. I saw what happens when you tweet about sports stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yep, zero chance I'm dealing with that.
So
zero.
I have been. I felt pretty free to do that for a long time, and I have. And one of the common responses, in fact, the most common response from people
is 3, 2, 1.
Stick to sports.
Idiot.
Stick to sports,
moron.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Every time. But here's the problem with it. It only happens when they disagree with you.
Right.
If you hold a political stance that is something they agree with, they don't say stick to sports. They only want you to stick to sports when they disagree.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you see that all the time. I mean, we see that in some of the responses that we'll get. Like if somebody disagrees with one of us that was something we said, you're stupid or you're not smart or
right.
go back to sports or whatever. And look, and that's precisely, by the way, why I don't do any of that stuff on Twitter, because that's exactly the way that it goes. And then my response is, well, then you can't comment about sports. Stick to whatever your profession is. So, you know, if you're a chef, hey, stick to food, dude.
Yep.
You know, if you're a lawyer,
financial advisor.
Yep. If you're a lawyer, stick to your court cases, buddy. You can't have a sports opinion. It's one of the most irritating things.
It's very lazy.
A lot of people that are the worst about this are like actors, athletes. They're like, well, if you didn't do it, you don't know. All right. Well, you have political opinions and you've never held office. How can you have an opinion? Like, if we held people to only being able to talk about what they are a, quote, professional in, nobody would ever talk about anything.
And I will say that, again, any serious conversation mandates meaningful distinctions and context and discernment, saying when is it okay to say something, when is it not. I can see if you're tweeting from a team account or you're an official team writer posting on, you know, the Blues website or the Colorado Avalanche website, that you do need to be careful, right? Because your fan
you're representing
base,
a team.
You're representing a team.
Well, in this case, you're representing the Athletic.
You're representing the Athletic. And again, if it is the company's prerogative to say what you can and can't say under the company banner, is it going too far when they say you can't post on your own personal social media? You know, again, it might be.
I mean, the thing is, to me, is yes, you can do that. And the person who's involved can go get another job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the employers are allowed to set rules for the employees. And it's not a First Amendment breach. I don't like it. I don't love that you're telling people not to do it.
Agreed.
But they have every right to
do that. Yeah, they can. They can.
And I will say, too, I don't think it's always out of malicious intent. I think the current political atmosphere is so toxic and divisive that a lot of companies are like, how can we protect ourselves from this environment? Yep. How can we keep it about sports? How can we not continue to offend people? Because I do think a lot of people get a bit frustrated that whatever ideology or political slogan that's out there is being, you know, thrown at them constantly, kind of in their faces all the time. So I don't know that there is a clear-cut line of when you can say something political and when you can't. I think it depends on maybe the nature of your job and the nature of the business.
If a company wants to say, look, we just don't want to get into it because everything is so polarized and divisive right now and we really can't win if you do, that's one thing. I think it does get a little... It's a little more uncomfortable to me when they're telling their people not to use your own platforms with your own names, your personal stuff, to have any opinions. And furthermore, I'm where Kevin is on this. We're all citizens. If you cover sports, if you cover politics, whatever you do, every one of us is a citizen and every one of us is afforded an opinion. And it's okay to have that. I ask that if you have an opinion and you want to disseminate it, however you want to do it via Twitter, Facebook, whatever, just be thoughtful about your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the only, you don't have to agree with me. Just be thoughtful about what you're saying.
And what's interesting is I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth here, where I see how you want politics to be, or sports to be, separate from politics.
It never really has been,
though. But it hasn't been, because some really important movements, think of the civil rights movement and Jackie Robinson, that was sports.
How about soccer worldwide? Is so political all the time in its entire history.
Amy Marscores, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler with you on the show. You'll find us on Twitter at the show KMOX. And there you'll find links to everything you need and numbers. So if you want to text us, it's 314-436-7900. We're going to mix some of those in here in this segment. If you want to leave us a voicemail, 314-944-1120. It's 944-1120. And you can leave it the length that you'd like. Ideally, it's on the topics that we're talking about. And we're actually going to get to a couple of voicemails here, too. Just some reaction to what we talked about earlier. Look, we've been talking about political rhetoric.
Yep.
And the increasing combativeness of it, the increasing, is it fair to say violent nature of it?
Yeah.
Or is that too much?
No, it's escalated to extremely violent political rhetoric, and there has always been really nasty political rhetoric.
Oh, yeah,
if you
read
some of the pamphlets from the 18th century, I mean, the founding fathers were hurling insults at each other back and forth, but what we're having right now is the combination of increasingly heated political rhetoric and increasingly isolated political silos, where red and blue communities are, they're not interacting with each other. You're dehumanizing the other side. You're demonizing the other side. And perhaps most importantly, you're painting the other side as an existential threat to you, your family, and your country.
That's a great point.
And when you combine those two things, you have people taking action. We've said this before, that if you were to put all of the people who stormed the Capitol, who committed some of the most violent actions at the Capitol, and they went through a lie detector test, all of them, I guarantee you, would believe that they were truly saving democracy. You hear the phrase, desperate times call for desperate measures. When you have politicians incessantly saying that these are desperate times, then people are going to take those desperate measures. They will feel that violent outlier action is justified.
So you just said the word dehumanizing, and that is what countries and militaries do in war when you have to kill the other side. You dehumanize them,
right?
Not by calling them what they are. You didn't call them the Germans. You call them the Krauts. And I'm not going to get into some of the other slurs that were used in various other wars for the enemy. But you use those terms because they dehumanize the opposition, which makes it less troublesome to killing them. They're not people from that country. They are that slur. They are that thing, that name. Again, they're not Germans. They're Krauts. And again, some of the other ones are far more offensive. I don't even want to get into them. But we know what where the wars have been over the course of the last 30, 40 years. In war in Vietnam, this happened partly in World War II. It happened in some of the conflicts in the Middle East and in Africa, where the nicknames for the quote-unquote enemy, and by the way, in those cases, it was an enemy. It was somebody shooting at you and you shooting back at them. None of this is that, but we're using that same framing. We're using that. You're not a Democrat. You're a leftist.
You're a leftist.
You're not a conservative.
You're a rhino.
You're a fascist, or you're a rhino.
Yeah.
And that is not by accident. We have to understand that. These people know what they're doing. It is not an accident. It is absolutely done because you want some people that support you to not think of the opposition as your opposition, but as your enemy.
Because you have to continue to fuel the outrage. If the machine is driven, and by machine, whatever it is, whether it's your political campaign or what have you, if it's driven by outrage and grievance politics, you have to keep people upset. And I think what we're seeing, too, is not even that there are more people who are willing to take violent action, you know, that it was in them. I don't know, but it's that threshold has been lowered, if that makes sense. It's easier for people to get to that point where they're willing to act on their hate or their fears or their violent inclinations. Just to kind of throw a couple out here, because we've talked about January 6th. Yes, we've talked about the Kavanaugh assassination attempt. We look at Amy Coney Barrett has had protesters outside her house. They've doxxed her kids' schools. But the Louisville mayor over the weekend or yesterday, he was just punched by a man at the store on 4th Street Live. It's like a really cool part of Louisville with shops and restaurants and bars. In February, a very left-leaning Democrat drew a gun on another Democratic candidate for mayor of Louisville, Craig Greenberg. Quintez Brown drew a gun on Craig Greenberg. And then we've seen with the leaking of the SCOTUS ruling on Roe, there have been attacks, Molotov cocktails, and bombs at pregnancy counseling centers in North Carolina, Oregon, New York, Seattle, D.C., Illinois, Virginia, Wisconsin, Maryland, and Iowa, just since the leaked verdict or decision.
Right. And even leading up to that, there have been violence against Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics, or, you know, whatever you want to call them. We got a texter earlier that said this, and it's from a 314. The false equivalence of "we're coming for you" and an armed active shooter parody is horrific. And I think what this person is trying to say is there is nuance and difference between what Chuck Schumer said about the Supreme Court, which you could take if you really want to have nuance about this and listen to what he said and read the quote for yourself, you could take it as you're going to suffer political consequences. Or you, if you're a crazy person, you could take it as I want to go injure somebody in the Supreme Court. But there is no mistaking the Greitens ad. It's a guy holding a gun who's standing outside of a house with armed tech guys in tactical gear who are stacking, and they go inside the house. Like, there's no mistaking what that is. And so there is some nuance here, I think.
Yeah, and can I just clarify? I don't think we did compare
what Schumer said to
Greitens' ad. Well, we discussed Greitens' ad.
Right.
And
that's from the texter, by the way.
Separately discussed how this political rhetoric is increasingly violent and, like, vaguely violent. Like we said, you won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. Imagine Schumer saying it. Imagine Trump saying it. We all can interpret what that could mean.
Well, I think, yes, you're right. But I do think,
those are
again,
bigger stretches than basing that off of what we saw yesterday.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There is nuance here.
If come out yesterday and just said those exact words, we're not even talking
correct
about it today.
That's exactly it. And especially because, well, look, if you're talking about somebody who has a history of calling for violence or vaguely calling for violence, and then they say what Chuck Schumer did, then okay, that's, now you're getting into some territory that's pretty questionable.
Case.
Which I think the quote is questionable itself anyway, but I think that there is some nuance here, and there's a difference between what he said at the time and what Greitens did with the ad yesterday.
And here's the nuance and why it matters. If you took Chuck Schumer's quote, which I think is wildly irresponsible and inappropriate.
And I can agree with that.
But if you took it and then put Chuck Schumer in a video holding a gun, breaking into homes, saying this, then there would be outrage.
Yes.
There's nothing vague about that.
No.
Right. And that's what Greitens did, is we're coming for you. And you think, well, what's the difference between Schumer and Greitens? Well, Greitens had a video where guys are in tactical gears with assault
weapons. Can I just say this,
too,
by the way? Because this is going to be really snarky and smart-assy, but I'm sorry. But the guy that's talking about showing us going into the, you know, we're gonna go into the breach and we're gonna come after these rhinos is too scared to come on KMOX.
Well,
I mean, let's be honest. He was asked to come on KMOX and they did not reply. And I think if you're gonna play this role of I'm gonna stand up for everybody, I'm gonna do that. Hey, listen, man, we're just radio hosts. We're just reporters in the newsroom. If you're scared of us because we might disagree with you, well, too bad on you, man. You know, I mean, like, you can't play the role of tough guy. And I'm, by the way, not questioning Greitens' personal toughness. That guy's a Navy SEAL. He is in that regard, in that part of his life, that is an admirable thing and a difficult thing. And he showed his bravery by choosing to do that. But then at this point, when you're facing a little heat, don't just stay on the home field.
Yeah.
You know, maybe answer a call from somebody else that's going to ask you some questions.
And he has, to no end, exploited the iconography of the Navy SEAL and the reverence we hold for Navy SEALs. And he's used it for his own personal gain. In 2015, he was a Democrat and realizes, you know, this Navy SEAL background is not going to go as far in the Democratic Party, but the Republicans will love it. And I can do anything if I become a Republican, which he basically did. And just the grifter aspect of it. And I go, oh, maybe he doesn't want to come on the show because technically I'm a rhino.
Oh, no. And again, look, I want to be very clear because we talked about this yesterday with Dan Crenshaw. I think it's ridiculous to insult somebody's toughness or whatever, or their dedication to the country when they have served in that manner. And I'm not doing that at all. What I'm saying is you can't just be playing to the friendly crowd all the time. If you really truly believe what you say, you're saying, if you truly believe that you are correct and that you have a better way, you shouldn't have to stay on the home field all the time. You should be able to answer a call from a reporter. I'm not even talking about us or Glover or whatever. Answer a call from
the
newsroom.
You know, they're all fair people out here. All of our newsroom is really, really good and going to treat you fairly.
Yeah, and I think that unfortunately, to me, again, it's not a matter of toughness or patriotism or anything like that. It is simply that in politics too often it becomes, I'm only going to talk to the people that will vote for me, or I'm only going to talk to the people that agree with me. And that continues to feed the problem and feed the division, because you're preaching to the choir all the time. Well, what's the point of that?
Right. And that we talk about the term echo chamber all the time. That's all that is. And that's and it doesn't matter what side you're on. If you are far left, if you are far right, and you will only talk to networks that believe what you believe. It's not reaching anybody because the people you're reaching are the people who already agree with you.
Quick question. When did the MAGA crowd turn on Dan Crenshaw?
Apparently this weekend.
Interesting.
I don't know because I didn't know that was a thing with him.
Because they were calling him Eyepatch McCain.
Which is Tucker Carlson's name for him, which is also sad.
What in the world? I mean, oh my gosh.
And again,
this guy
we're talking about the Texas GOP convention, by the way.
Yeah.
Where this happened. And Cornyn was booed while he was up on stage as well. A guy who was a longtime conservative.
And I will also say this. People that are on the Democratic side shouldn't shy away from conservative outlets either. Not that we are one way or the other. But I mean, I think everybody who wants to run for a national office should answer to all kinds of people, not just the people they think will vote for them.
What is it? What's happened?
What's going on? What do you know?
What just happened?
What happened?
I need to know.
Trending now on the show.
All right, back in on the show. Time to see what is trending. Sometimes you get a little surprise in the trending because obviously it's trending and you didn't really know it was coming. Anything for you guys right off the top, or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Usually you don't know what's coming.
You guys always know.
Well, I'm pretty good at me.
I knew it was coming. I just didn't expect it.
Yep. Amy.
Welcome. Here's one thing that's trending. Should we take part in this? June 21st is National Selfie Day. Hashtag National Selfie Day is trending.
Yes, I think the show should do a show selfie.
A show selfie?
Yes, a Sean Connery.
Oh, come on,
what's
Amy.
It's selfie day.
You know what? I think both of you are a little bit crabby.
Why do you keep saying that we are crabby? Stop saying we're mad all the time.
Ranji, it's called projection.
314-944-1120.
That's the voicemail line.
Oops. What's
the text line? The text line is 314-436-7900.
Text in if you think Ranj and Wheeler are a little bit grouchy.
Text in if you think that's just Amy thinking that because she's tired from a marathon.
Okay, that's hurtful.
Anyway, National Selfie Day is trending.
Oh, gosh.
And there are people all over the Twitter taking selfies. Oh, I just saw one that is my favorite selfie. It's a selfie of the dude and the man in the hat in the Big Lebowski where the dude is taking the selfie on the set. That's awesome.
That's a great one.
Well done, Jeff Bridges.
Sam Elliott.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
That's him.
Well, I mean, that's obviously, it's not what he's known for. I will always, always, always think of him from Tombstone.
Guys.
Speaking of crab, like, he's such a good crab in the movies. I mean, Sam Elliott's one of my favorites. Plus, he's got a great voice.
He's got the best voiceover voice.
You know, that's a great, like, list. Who are the best movie crabs, grouches, grumpers.
Movie grumps. Oh, that's a great
the top
call.
10
Walter
movie
Matthau.
Grumps. Oh, he's a great
from Grumpy
one.
Old Men. Maybe that's unfair because I'm thinking of Grumpy Old Men, and it's the
whole
point.
He's always
but he's
grumpy.
Pretty grouchy as the coach in Bad News
when
Bears.
When has Walter Matthau ever been perky?
I don't know. He's kind of
perky in JFK.
I don't know.
Okay, we got to think
All
about
right.
this.
What else is trending? We'll think about it while we're looking at what else is trending.
How about this one? He's a 10.
That's trending. I saw that. What is that? What's happening with the he's a 10 trend?
So it's he's a 10, and then you list something like but. So it's like he's a 10, but he doesn't know how to cut a tomato. And then like they show a picture of, you know, the boyfriend struggling to cut a tomato in the kitchen. Or this one, he's a 10, but he doesn't know how to spell the word tomorrow. And then it's a screenshot of the text.
So he's just he's a good looking guy, but that's pretty much all he's got for him is what this is about.
Yeah. It's like, the contrast.
What is your tolerance for somebody who's attractive, but like maybe not all that bright as far as dating them?
Zero.
What if they're like an 11?
No.
Like you can't get any
then
better
not
looking.
Attractive. If there's no intellectual compatibility, it's out.
Kevin, I know you're out of the game and you've been out of the game for a long
time.
For
let's see, what year is it now? 2020, so 30 years. Yep. I've been out of the game for 30 years.
All right.
Wow, you've been out of the game since I was 8.
Yes.
Hypothetically speaking.
I have been out of said game for 30 years.
Amy, you never would have run into Kevin on Bumble.
Was the game invented 30 years ago?
There was some game. I don't know. We changed the rules, I think, since then. We didn't have all this online dating stuff. We actually had to go meet people.
In my day, we had to work to meet a lady.
We actually had to go to the bar.
Yes. Yeah.
And they would bring them in on wagons.
Although I didn't meet my wife in the bar. I met my wife in the dorms.
Wagons.
So. Like back in the old West.
You are such a jerk.
All the ladies would go to the Western towns.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Ron. Stop being such a crab.
See, she does this all the time. I am not.
What were you asking me anyway?
I don't even. Oh, what would be your tolerance level for some, like, they're really, really attractive but kind of dumb?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I can tolerate.
I mean, when put it this way, it would be different now than it was when I was 18, when I was still in the game.
Okay, right. I mean, like, if they're an 11, I'm very shallow, so that's good enough for me.
11,
good enough for me.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.